It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Congressman Tim Murphy is calling for an independent audit of the Pittsburgh VA in the wake of mounting scandals within the Department of Veterans Affairs. An interim inspector general's report found that government officials falsified records to hide the length of time vets had to wait for medical appointments. The problems were originally identified in Phoenix, but apparently are part of a systematic problem nationwide. I'm joined now by phone by Congressman Tim Murphy. Good day, Congressman Murphy.
Good to be with you.
How deeply embedded do you think in the Pittsburgh VA these problems are, and how many veterans are they affecting?
Well, the Pittsburgh VA has a list called the NEAR list. This is a list for people who are asking for appointments, and apparently this list reached a level of nearly 700 vets going back a couple years. There's a distinction, if one can make, between the kind of things that are showing up in veterans' hospitals around the country. There are some that is perhaps incompetence or people not doing their job, and there's other ones where it is purposely misleading and misrepresenting numbers. The latter one, I believe, is going to go more into probably criminal prosecution, especially if it led to any harm or death of veterans when persons have manipulated lists in order to get their bonuses or promotions. Or pay raises. That is just wrong, and that's criminal. The other one is the kind of the lax attitude that has occurred in many places, and that is why we want the independent investigators to go through the VA and tell us what it needs. I see this as part of an overall overhaul that must take place at veterans' hospitals nationwide. This is an ongoing problem, and they simply need to be changed in how they are run.
What are your thoughts about what might have been or is occurring in the Pittsburgh VA hospitals? Is it the incompetence that you spoke of, or is it something more insidious? Is there any evidence of records being falsified by VA officials here?
Well, we will know more as the investigation takes place. The initial comments made to myself and Congressman Mike Doyle by hospital administrators is that he may have traced this to perhaps one person and some supervisors who were not doing their job. But in the sense of this, if someone was doing some intake calls and simply leaving them alone and ignoring them, you have to ask, was that willful or was it incompetence? Nonetheless, we ended up with, as they've gone through this list and called them all back, several of them wanted an appointment and they got it. I think it was something like 169 said, we don't want to do this at all now, and they stepped away. And you wonder how many of those are fed up with the system and are going to go somewhere else. How many had other problems addressed somewhere else? We will find that out as we go through and see what the consequences are of these delays.
And apparently, as you said, the motive for some of this, what was intentionally done to falsify records, was incentives for government officials. Does the VA need to do away with this system of incentives?
I think it does need to do away with the system of individual incentives as it is. Think of it this way. If you paid a delivery man by the mile, he would find the longest route between point A and point B. And that's the way the VA system works. When they say move paper, run through cases, keep the waiting list short, they will make those waiting lists short. And that was part of the motive to falsify the records. I believe what's needed within the VA system is multi-level. One, the new secretary of the VA, call upon the White House, hire someone who knows how to run a large health system. The VA being the largest hospital system in the country with some 300,000 employees, you've got to have someone who really knows how to run a large hospital system. Two, make sure that the hospital administrators are not just political appointees or people who came up through the ranks by having their own metrics look good. Get other people who have degrees and training and experience in hospital administration. Three, let's get rid of this incentive bonus system the way it is now. Look instead at if you're going to have bonuses, make it for the team, make it for the hospital, so that all of them are pulling together based upon patient care and patient improvement. I think what one way one could do that is you do a pilot study and you team up hospitals that are near other large, highly competent hospitals and let them work together. So that means that perhaps in Baltimore you tie someone in with Johns Hopkins. In Pittsburgh, you tie someone with Presby, which is right across the street. You do that a number of hospitals, and you begin to determine what services really must take place in a VA and what can be someone can have in other places. I don't know what the VA of Pittsburgh needs to do. Transplants, I do know it does need to treat those wounds of war specific to veterans, burns, psychiatric issues, orthopedic issues, amputations. Those are the things we ought to be paying attention to very closely and having the absolute best service for our veterans there. But right now, that system needs a lot of overhaul.
Does the VA also need to do a better job of screening the government officials that they hire to oversee these VA hospitals in terms of their ethics and their integrity? Because what they have reportedly done, if it's true, it's unconscionable.
It is unconscionable. You know, we can do a lot in Congress in terms of passing laws and put more money into the VA. But we found long ago you cannot legislate morality and you can't litigate ethics and the sense of conscience. That has to come from the person. And this is where in any other setting, if there was an employee in a place that lacked that integrity and that sense of ethics, they would go. That same kind of power and authority needs to be granted to the VA as well. Not long lists of people who are challenging this and staying on the job or being promoted to something else. But when it's something that puts a veteran at risk, those sort of employees need to go. That's the only thing that I think is going to restore the full hope and faith of the veterans in the VA system. There's a lot of good people in the VA. I know many of them. There's people who are great workers, highly dedicated to their work. But the other ones are tearing that system down. And I think the best thing for morale in any organization is that those who lack those personal moral fiber need to move on to something else.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Congressman Tim Murphy, who is calling for an independent audit of the Pittsburgh VA in the wake of the scandals within the Department of Veterans Affairs. Congressman Murphy, some believe that General Shinseki, who resigned as Secretary of Veterans Affairs, was made a scapegoat in all of this, that it wasn't all his fault. What's your take on it?
I think for General Shinseki, who was a highly decorated Vietnam veteran, I think that's a case where someone was operating out of their area of expertise. Within the first year or two, he should have gotten a good sense of what's going on. Certainly there have been multiple reports over the decades identifying these problems within the VA. He then should have come before Congress and said, here's the problems, I see them occurring, and here's what I need Congress to do. Give me authority to take action. He may have also surrounded himself with people who were yes men and just passing good news up to him and not giving him other accurate information. But as the leader, as the Secretary of the VA, that's the kind of things he has to shake up and demand. And I think along those lines, it was time for him to go. So he wasn't just in his first or second year inheriting old problems. It was his problem by the sixth year, and it's something he needed to move on so they could come up with a major shakeup of the whole organization.
So you're saying that the person to take his place needs to be someone who is more of a specialist in the area of handling veterans affairs and hospital administration.
Absolutely. I want someone who's run a large hospital system. Now, my understanding is already the administration is floating out the name of the current head, the CEO of the Cleveland Clinic, a large hospital system. That's the kind of person I'm talking about, someone who knows how to constantly measure the metrics of quality health care. And that's going to be needed, as well as how you handle difficult situations. Every hospital system has their problems and need special ways of dealing with that. So we'll see whether it's this director of the Cleveland Clinic or someone else. I sure hope it's someone who has that depth of experience and years of experience so they don't need to spend a couple years on the job learning.
How much of the problem here has to do with the tremendous influx of Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans? The United States in the last 10 years has been involved in two wars, and many of the soldiers now in these last few years are coming home. There are a number of problems, both physical and mental. There are a number of PTSD issues that are being identified. Was there a lack of anticipation for this influx over this period here now of 3 or 4 years that maybe wasn't anticipated?
Well, this was anticipated, and we have doubled the budget to VA in the last 10 years or so. And I've never seen a situation where a secretary or someone from the administration hasn't come before Congress that we need this to take care of our veterans, that Congress says no. We do work in a bipartisan way to make sure our veterans are cared for fully. We knew that there was hundreds of thousands perhaps coming through with various psychiatric levels from very mild to more severe, 40-plus thousand coming through with head injuries, thousands with amputations and orthopedic problems. Though that's not news. We know those things were coming. We've known that for years. And so just saying it overwhelmed the system isn't enough. And when there was a problem, the secretary should have come before Congress and said, I need more help. I know he did hire something like 1,600 more people in the mental health area, and that has helped in some areas. I might add what that has led to in other problems, however, is that many of those who have gone into the VA are people who have left the military system. And so the military system itself now has some shortages that we see to make sure they're still addressing the needs of those who are still active duty.
You have a background in psychology and psychiatry. Mental health is your area of expertise. Is there a certain triage that can or should be done with regard to identifying patients who are most in need when it comes to PTSD or mental health issues, just as there is triage to identify physical wounds or who is most in need of immediate care?
Absolutely. The triage system for mental health questions along a wide range is an immediate response. When a veteran calls, they probably were worried about the issue or concerned about the symptoms for a period of time, and they finally got the motivation to make a call. Behind that call may be lots of other issues, such as losing a job, developing substance abuse issues with drugs or alcohol, family stresses, a whole host of things. So it is essential the Veteran Administration moves immediately. And that means an immediate appointment, immediate triage and diagnostic workup, and then getting that person proper care. Now, I might add, a study that came out about a year ago or so said that when someone approaches the VA for psychological concerns, only 10 to 20% of the time do they get appropriate care. Something like 50% of veterans don't even approach the VA for care, perhaps because it is a matter of lack of trust, perhaps in many cases because there still is that personal stigma many feel about mental health treatment, and they don't realize you can get help and you can get better. But it is you can't put someone with mental health issues on a waiting list, and you can't give them the wrong treatment. So, for example, someone who has been in combat stress is the norm. You're supposed to feel that. And after a very traumatic event, post-traumatic stress is also very normal. We all feel that. If you've been in an auto accident or there's been a tragedy of the family, one feels that. Moving to the level of a post-traumatic stress disorder or other more serious problems are ones where, for example, you don't put someone into group therapy, you don't put them on a waiting list. Those have to be immediately addressed and with a constant review by highly competent people to make sure you're addressing it right.
And finally, Congressman Murphy, as you go forward with this plan with Congressman Doyle, in addition to looking at and calling for an independent audit, what are some of the other things that you'll be doing going forward?
Well, with the VA, it's really a matter of making sure systems are coordinated. I know that within the hospital networks that the military has, for example, Walter Reed on the East Coast or San Diego or other large military hospitals, there needs to be better coordination between those services and the VA, and right now that still is not there. For a long time, even the medical records were operated on different systems. There has to be easy handoffs between the two. And quite frankly, at times when a person is not doing well at the VA, they may need to be reactivated and come back to a place like Walter Reed at Bethesda. All those things need to be worked out in a smooth handoff, smooth transition. So that's another area I'll be working on as well.
Congressman Tim Murphy talking about the problems within the Department of Veterans Affairs. Congressman Murphy, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you all the veterans, and make sure you let them know that we will work this out. We want to restore their faith and trust in the VA system.
We will indeed, sir. Thank you. And Essential Pittsburgh has more coming up on 90.5 WESA.